He slides onto the stool next to mine. Can't a guy just catch up with an old buddy? A guy? Sure. You? Not a chance. He laughs, but there's something forced about it. His eyes keep darting to the door. I've known Coda long enough to recognize when he's in over his head. The smart play would be to walk away right now, forget the job, and find easier money elsewhere. But nobody ever accused me of being smart. I slurp up another mouthful of noodles and say, "Tell your mom I was hungry and this place is closer. But first, tell me what's really going on here." Before I can get any real answers out of him, his communicator starts buzzing. The way he jerks when he sees the display, you'd think it was going to bite him. "I have to take this," he says, already standing. "Come with me." "My noodles aren't finished. I'll buy you a whole case of noodles later. Just come on." I look longingly at my bowl. This better be worth it. "Half your payment up front," he says quickly. "Just follow me and keep your mouth shut." When have I ever kept my mouth shut? But I follow him anyway, because that's the kind of friend I am. The kind that makes poor life choices. We weave through the crowded streets, past neon signs advertising everything from authentic Earth cuisine to black market cybernetics. Coda moves fast, checking over his shoulder every few seconds, like he thinks we're being followed. Knowing Coda, we probably are. "You know," I say, ducking under a low-hanging sign, "when a friend starts acting suspicious and won't tell you what's going on, that friend usually isn't being a friend. Less talking, more walking. See that right there? That's suspicious behavior." He leads me to a residential block, all prefab units stacked on top of each other like children's blocks. The elevator's broken, naturally, so we climb 6 flights of stairs. By the 4th floor, I'm seriously reconsidering our friendship. "This better not be like that time on New Tego," I warn him, slightly winded. "I still have the scars from that job." "That was different. Those card sharks had it coming." "They were actual sharks, Coda." "Technically true," he corrects, "but only because of the cybernetics." He pauses. "They were creks, if you want to get picky, Dalton." "I want to be clear of any trouble is what I want. How much farther?" "Down the hall." We reach a door marked 6D. Coda pulls out an old-fashioned key. Nobody uses those anymore, except people with something to hide, and pushes the door open. The smell hits us first, that metallic copper tang that anyone who spent time in Little Earth knows too well. Then we see the body. "Well," I say, looking at the corpse sprawled across what used to be a nice coffee table, "I guess this explains why you were in such a hurry to leave the restaurant." The apartment's been tossed. Furniture overturned, walls dented, blood spattered in artistic patterns across the ceiling. Someone was looking for something, and they weren't particular about how they found it. "Since this happened," Coda says quietly, "I need your help." "Let me guess, this isn't what it looks like?" "Actually, it's exactly what it looks like." Chapter 2. The thing about falling 6 stories is that it gives you plenty of time to question your life choices, like why I keep trusting Coda, or why I didn't just stay with my noodles. "The dumpster!" Coda yelled just before we took the plunge. "Aim for the dumpster!" "I hate you." I jumped right after him. We hit the dumpster in a cascade of garbage and regret. At least it's softer than concrete. Something squishes underneath me. I decide not to investigate what. Gunfire erupts from the window above, peppering the alley with a mix of projectile rounds and plasma bolts. These guys aren't messing around. "Friends of yours seem upset," I groan, rolling out of the dumpster. "What did you do this time?"
"Would you believe nothing?"
"No."
"Smart."
Coda pulls me behind a storage unit as more shots rain down.
"We need to get back to your ship."
"We need to get